You're listening to CivCast on the Kyle Dempster Studios Network. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/CivCast. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a new episode of CivCast. My name is Kyle, and I'm joined here by my co-host, as always, Valter. Hello, Valter.
Hey, Kyle. Good to be back.
It is good to be back. We're back with episode 52. This officially kicks off season 2 of CivCast. I didn't know we were going to have seasons, Valter, but look at that. It just worked out perfectly.
Yeah, it did. It's perfect timing.
It really is. So we've got, we're recording this on the 22nd of January, and is it just a little over a week away now, right?
11 days according to Steam, so we're getting close.
Oh, 11 days! Okay, 11 days until the new expansion for Civilization VI comes out, so we'll be looking at Civilization VI Rise and Fall. We've had a couple months off over the holidays, so that's perfect timing. That we just took some time, kicked back, relaxed, and now we're here to go while there's plenty of news coming out. And did you find it a little interesting, Valter? There really wasn't too much news that came out well in advance. Like, they had a pretty short turnaround window. Do you agree, or do you think
something
else? Yeah,
they decided to, like, get everything done and such, and then just go really quickly after each other, deeper into all the systems that they already had done. Like, the leaders drop one after another. The systems with the live streams that are still going on are still, like, deep diving into every new thing. And I personally really like this because that means there is no big gap in between the news things where you really are aching, like, give us more. But now they just drop it all on you, and I love it.
I can agree with that. I totally agree. I always say that I personally, you know, after this many years of video game releases that I actually care about, I always think that my window for a video game release, my passion, stays for maybe 3 months after they first say it. And then I hit, like, those 3 months are hyped. And then I hit, like, a drop into a valley. And then I'm like, honestly, kind of don't care. Like, haven't heard much news. The news is slow, something like that. And then usually, like, a month in advance, feels almost artificial at that point, but I get my hype back up. So I like this, to your point. I like that they're giving us a shorter window with more news now.
Yeah, I mean, you need to keep the hype train going, you know? And I think they're doing it really well, especially with the I think it's a weekly live stream and everything like that. Still pushing out new leaders and everything to show us. The latest was Scotland, I believe. And it's just keeping the hype level really high, and with 11 days before launch, they're doing a really good job at it.
I agree. And we got some new civs coming out. That this week we're going to focus on the whole loyalty system. I don't know if we even told people that, but I figure we should just give people a quick overview just because we haven't been around much. So big changes. Here's the highlights. We got Great Ages coming. We've got Dedications coming. We got Loyalty and Free Cities coming. I like the idea of Free Cities, by the way. We'll get into that.
Yeah, me too. We're gonna go into that later.
Yes. Governors. Love the idea of governors, personally. Alliance changes. Big changes to that, actually. Perks over time. Emergencies, which are... We'll spend a week on that at some point.
Yeah, we will.
New units, which look pretty cool. I just saw that caravan they announced the other day, or the upgrade of the medic. It's like the little truck they're doing. That seems neat.
Supply and truck. I love the drone, actually. Have you seen the drone?
Oh, upgrade to the weather balloon, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that is cool. That was very neat. New districts. They confirmed. So I'm out of the loop, everyone. I'll wrap these up and then we'll say. So there's new districts and new civs. So we're playing this season a little bit differently. Valter's been tuned into the news and I've been burnt out on Civ, probably because of launching a podcast about it. But also, like we've said on the previous shows, there was no storyline really that you could generate, and it seems like they took everything and really ran with it. So I think this season I'm going to be playing the skeptic a little bit, and Valter, I think you're playing the guy that's fully in on it. But I don't know. What do you think? They hit on our topics a lot? It looks like it from this list.
I think, like, especially because if you've listened to the previous episodes in last season and everything like that, things that came up was like a government district. We got a government district. Reshaping of alliances. They literally reshaped alliances and everything like that. And we talked about cultural flipping, and that's the loyalty system. And, like, so many things that we have, like, things that we wanted to see changed or, like, more in-depth and everything like that, more important. And, yeah, that's all what's coming out now, and I love it. And it has a lot of great potential.
I think it really does. So for Axis, kudos. If you listen, and you guys make me wonder if you do, because you're making so many changes that matter. I mean, I was just reading through this list right now and I saw that government district. I didn't know that that was an official thing. And that's exactly what we talked about having. So, I mean, crazy, crazy, crazy. I am thrilled, but I am going to play the skeptic this season, and Valitor's going to do his best to convince me to get back into Civ 6 and really enjoy all of this. So, Valitor, I am going to kind of toss this to you here. If you want to lay out what you want to discuss with the loyalty system, if you want to give people a little bit more background, like an overview about what it is, and then we can get into some more of the fine grain detail.
Yeah, of course. So the loyalty system is something that I have been missing not only in Civ 6, but also in Civ 5 pretty much. In Civ 4, you had the ability to steal away tiles and cities eventually by culture. If your culture was more prevalent, then eventually you could hover over a tile and see how much influence your culture had over that tile compared to the other player. And if you were the majority, then you get that tile. And now with the loyalty system, something like that kind of came back. So every city has a loyalty rating for your civilization, but also for other civilizations. And it can tick up by positive influence from nearby cities, a governor, or the government plaza, for example. And there are things that can make it go tick down. For example, if you found a city that's really far away from your empire or your capital specifically, then it will have a negative modifier for your loyalty. And with this, eventually, if your loyalty falls too low or somebody else gets too high, the city will kind of go up in revolt against your empire and break away and become this so-called free city. And at this point, it's pretty much fair game for anybody to like go ahead and declare war on it and fight with it and just take a military, or you can keep increasing your loyalty with that city. If it's your city, was your city before, then you can try to take it back that way. But if it's your neighbors, for example, you can try and steal that free that now free city away from them by putting a lot of loyalty in that into that city and just incorporating them into your empire because you are awesome. Yeah. And there are a lot of factors that influence how much loyalty gets spread. Citizens in a city like provide loyalty, and they spread that out a little bit as well to their surroundings, but not in a very high level. The further away this extra city is, the lower the effect of the loyalty of the citizens will be. So there are a lot of factors that will actually affect loyalty, and I think it will become a really, really important thing in the game, because we have had a lot of talk about these large sprawling empires, and that was pretty much the way to go in Civ 6. Like, the bigger your empire was, the better. There was pretty much no real downside to it. Mm-hmm. And now with loyalty, you need to be careful that your empire doesn't become too large to manage and does a Roman Empire split up in two.
Right. That amenity, keeping tabs on your amenities to keep your cities actually happy, is going to be a real challenge. I mean, remembering in Civ 6, and maybe I was sprawling too large, you know, too large, depending. But that I thought was always something that was a little hard to manage, was keeping your amenities up to snuff to keep the empire just happy, at least until you got to a certain point in the game. If you're going to start losing cities, that's going to be a big change. My question is, do you think that the AI is really going to feel the burn from that, Valitor? Like, do you think that they are going to have a lot of cities break away? Because they tend to go really wide, really fast, I think.
Yeah, and I think the AI probably at higher difficulties might also get a loyalty bonus to prevent that a little bit. But I can definitely see AIs losing controls of their cities. Maybe not specifically because their loyalty gets dipped so low because it's far away or something like that. But I can definitely see other AIs influencing each other's cities and breaking away that kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And also, me as a player, I can definitely see myself playing more of a passive game where I try to like chip away slowly at different empires and take some of their valuable cities for myself.
Yeah. So these cities, they apply pressure, like we've had, similar to the religious system, is that right? Like, or is that a bad
thing? It's very similar to the religious system, and if you see the loyalty map mode that they have, that I think they call lances, but map mode lances, the loyalty thing, it has a very similar look to the religious system since the new patch, with very nice arrows showing who is, like, giving pressure to where, and it has very clear numbers. There is also a bar that is starts green when the health is good of your loyalty, but slowly when it starts to dip lower, then the bar will become red, as in, like, keep an eye on this. This is not going the right way, and things like that. So it does have a lot in common with the passive religious spreading.
That's very interesting. I'm glad they're going to do the UI really well for that, because that's something that you don't want to lose a city because you're not paying total attention to how happy that city feels within your empire. That's always something. You know, this is a game that you're getting a lot of information. Maybe not as many bits as like a grand strategy, but really a lot's going on. This is a very fast paced game in many ways. You know, you're usually clicking next turn. And if you do have a sprawling empire, I think it could be really easy to lose one within, just that expansion rate. So I'm glad they're really focused on keeping these UIs looking very, very nice. Do you think something like this, because I personally do, where's your stance on this adding to kind of that storytelling that we talked about towards the end of season one, this lack of storytelling? How do you think that losing a city or gaining a free city is going to impact that for you?
So we've talked about it before, and like this expansion is called Rise and Fall, you know, and we've talked about it before that's a really cool concept, but it's really difficult to do well, that you don't want to go and reload like an earlier save or something mm-hmm. like that, because you feel like I've lost something. This wasn't the optimal play that I did, and I don't want to do this anymore. I want to go back and just be the best ever. And with a lot of these things, like the ages as well, but definitely this loyalty system as well, I really feel they're making a go for it, and I love it. I love that they bring some downsides to it, but if you play well, you could also use it to your advantage. It's the game becomes so much more dynamic and fluid, and storytelling-wise, how great would it be? Like if one of the cities that you just conquered or something like that, they rise up in revolt against your civilization because they don't feel loyal to their new like subjugators or anything like that. Makes sense. It fits the story and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the narrative with you fighting for control of that city and putting your iron fist over that new territory, it fits. It makes so much sense to me that I'm really glad they did it. And they brought us this new opportunity.
I think so too. I just can't get over it. I think this is really going to add something new. I think the challenge, I think you said that very, very well. The challenge will be keeping people from doing a reload, but I don't think this is going to have that sort of problem. I'm also kind of wondering how this is going to be affected, and I don't mean to skip ahead here any week, but you know, information's a little bit scarce. The eras and how they end with either, you know, a great era or golden era, age.
You have golden age, dark age, and a heroic age.
And heroic is coming, like, it's the big sweep back from your dark age, right? Like, that's your real chance for success.
Yeah, going from a dark age to a golden age.
So do you think that that's going to be a heavy impact on these loyalty of cities? I mean, in a true dark age, you know, things could be really bad. People might be tempted by neighboring civilizations that are having a golden age and seeing some real prosperity. Think that's going to be a factor, or is that maybe they're keeping those systems a little bit separate? From what you think.
I'm not sure. Could you repeat that? Because I kind of lost your sound for a second.
Oh, I was just saying that with these dark ages and with their golden ages, do you think that's going to influence your neighboring city? So if someone's having a golden age, you're having a dark age, do you think you're going to be more likely to lose a city during those downtimes?
Yeah, definitely. The dark age influences that your citizens from your cities produce less loyalty towards your cities and therefore also other cities. While in a golden age, they produce extra loyalty influence for your own cities, but also to other cities. So if you have a neighbor who is having a dark age, which gives him less loyalty points towards his city, while you're experiencing a golden age, it makes sense that your neighbor cities would be like, look at those guys having so much fun and a great time and everything like that. We want a part of that as well, you know, and they just hop over. So the age system is really intertwined with the loyalty system in that as well. It won't be like if everything is cool and you come into a dark age, it wouldn't like change the whole balance completely where all your cities are fleeing. Mm-hmm. But if it is already on the edge and you're playing like a very balancing game and everything like that, then this will definitely be something that could tip it. If you end up in a dark age while your neighbor is in a golden age, the difference is good enough that it can tip the scales against you or in your favor, depending on which side you are.
Okay, that makes absolute sense. And it makes me think of this. And again, I'm skipping ahead. I think we're just giving a little taste of everything. Governors, how much are they going to play in a loyalty system? Because that seems like that would be vast. I mean, historically speaking, right, governors have been installed in cities that have been notoriously suspect of revolution or, you know, something like that. So what do you think they're going to, are they going to give you some like defensive perks to loyalty, meaning are they going to keep your loyalty high in certain cities? Do you think some of them are also going to have like kind of an aggressive offensive attack towards other cities that are next door? Like maybe they exert more loyalty outside of your borders? Have we seen any news on that?
Yeah, so every governor gives out a certain amount of loyalty points. And I believe the standard for that, what we have seen so far, is 8 loyalty points. Unfortunately, because the numbers are not final and there hasn't been that much shown of the numbers, I can't say if that's a lot or not. What I've seen is that the capital does something like 25 loyalty points every turn, spreading out, and with the further hexes away, then it becomes less. But a governor in a city itself exerts 8 loyalty points towards your civilization. And as far as I know, it also adds that up to the citizens in that city, their loyalty points, and the combined total will spread away out of your city towards other cities as well. If I've seen correctly, then there is no real governor that does exert loyalty towards other civilizations extra, mm-hmm. by like a governor that you can really use to switch away cities, sure. Except for one that all your governors need to be established in your own cities, but there's one that you can establish in a city state as well.
Oh.
And with that one, you can probably like try and sway a city state to become more inclined towards your civilization by actually putting it there. But also if you put it in a strategic place, for example, you're sharing a border with a city-state and another empire, you might, by placing governor there, exert some extra influence on some of his cities that you can actually switch it away as well. Especially since you can only have one governor per city. So if you have like one border city and a city-state, then that already makes 2 governors. It's an extra bit of pressure.
So PC Gamer's website says exactly what you're getting at there. It says one of the main jobs of a governor is bolstering loyalty, but each of the 7 types of governor, you can only have one of each, also has a theme like military, economy, or religion, an entire promotion tree. that's exciting. That will allow them to grant powerful bonuses to the area of focus in the city where they are assigned. Are we getting... So with these governors and their loyalty and everything, are we seeing an extra emphasis on, hey, that's my production city. You know, I need to keep that one safe because it really gets the atomic bombs out there or something like that. Are we seeing extra
literally
focus?
Something like that. Yeah, that's definitely what the government system was designed to do. Like, if you want to have a governor that does exactly go focus on arms production and things like that, that you can get a bigger bonus on producing units and stuff like that, and also like nuclear bombs, for example. You have to make a lot of choices. You can go really deep into a governor or really wide with them. So if you have a large empire where you have to manage your loyalty very well so that you don't have cities breaking away, mm-hmm. you probably will have all of the governors spreading around through your empire just for the loyalty points, and don't go really deep into upgrading them so much. Whereas you play like a very centered empire where loyalty is no problem, you can have really focused, go down to the complete promotion tree of one specific governor just to get the maximum effort out of those governors and their abilities.
That sounds very, very interesting. I like it. And you said that very well, too, because I can just picture now, you know, you get that bonus if you're leaving a governor in a specific spot. But in a large empire, you really would have to shuffle them, huh? Since you can only... So we max out at 7, is that right? You can only have one of each?
You can have one of each, but what they did confirm is that modders can add as many governors as they like.
Oh, I forgot how much they love the modding community. Thanks for asking.
They've really tried well with this patch of this expansion as well. That they really wanted to give as much options to the modders to keep the system as open as possible. So you now have, like, I'm really curious how they're actually going to do it with screen space, because it fits really well on this with the 7 governors. But they did confirm that you can have as many governors of different anything, whatever you can want as a modder in there. So that's going to be really interesting to see what the modding community will do with that.
Oh, I can't wait. So I want to read this other portion of it where it says... they're talking here about what some examples of governor bonuses. One of my favorites is that we have a governor that if you get her to the top of her tier and you have her in a city, you can just straight up buy a district with gold. Another he called out allowed building units that normally require strategic resource without the resource, a potential balm to those extremely frustrating games where you put all your eggs in the military basket and you can't get access to iron.
Yeah.
Did you have one that might have stood out to you in particular? I feel like this is a good conversation to have. Loyalty system and the governors kind of go hand in hand.
One that I found really interesting, personally, not necessarily know how awesome it is, but is the Castellan. The Castellan is kind of a defensive governor. Mm-hmm. So if you have this border city with, I don't know, Genghis Khan is in the game, and Genghis Khan is usually known as a very aggressive guy. Mm-hmm. So you have this one border city sitting next to Genghis Khan, and you know that he's going to come for you. And the Castellan will give extra bonuses to the defense of your city. For example, units in the towers of the city will get extra combat strength. Your city can't be sieged. Or even as far as getting an extra city strike with your city. So you can do 2 city strikes with your city. Ooh. I find that a really interesting governor. Yeah, it's a great design. I personally, like, it's really situational when it's going to be useful, but it is a really great idea to have that governor. The one that I probably like the most is the one that gives science/cultural benefits. Mm-hmm. And it eventually will also lead unto you getting faster space race stuff.
Oh,
so the governor
cool.
gives the first tier you can choose to have. He has extra science and culture from your city, I believe, by 20%. And you can get a bonus to like building speed for campus buildings. And later on, he also gives extra great person points for every district that's in your city. So there's some really cool bonuses from him. But there is also a governor that unlocks special tiles that only when that governor's in that city can be like built by your workers, like fisheries, and which can improve sea resource styles, with which usually aren't that great. But if there's a fish next to it, you can make a fishery in that one as well. And the governors are really awesome. I love the idea of them, and we're probably going more in depth to all of them later on sometime. But I like it. Well, it's great.
For the noobs out there like me that haven't stayed on top of it, if you know this, you sound like you've watched a lot of the live streams. What is our mechanic behind getting a governor and moving a governor, things like that? Like, what are we actually? Because this system is very, very new. I mean, does it build off of another system we already have?
Well, it doesn't really build off another system. It's more like a combining. It looks a little bit like making the great person kind of idea,
okay,
combined with like a specific like a unit with a promotion tree, and they integrate it into the civics tree, because that's where you get the so-called governor title from.
Got it. So, I did hear that. Okay, so civics is what unlocks our governors?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like you have some civics that actually give you an envoy, you also have civics that now give you a governor's title. And every time you get a governor's title, you can choose to get a new governor or promote one of the ones that you already have.
That makes sense. So when you get the title, you choose to either get a new one or promote. I see. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
And when you build the government district, which gets unlocked by, I believe, political philosophy, if I'm correct, or maybe early empire. State district it is actually. It's before political philosophy. So really early in the game, you also get a governor. And for every building you build in there, where there are three buildings, each more dedicated to a specific path that you can take, which gives an empire-wide bonus, you also get a new governor title. So through that, you also get some.
That's very interesting. Oh, I like this. The more, you know, the more you flesh it out for me as the noob, I like it more and more. I mean, I love the concept of governors, but that makes sense. It does, in some small way, build off of the system we have with civics, but it has in itself a whole different approach. But you are right. They look like they're treated very similar to almost a great person. Have we seen any major changes to great people yet or anything like that?
Well, some of them have been replaced, like Genghis Khan was a great general, isn't anymore, of course, because he's now a leader. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they just like put any new great persons in it, because we haven't seen anything of that so far as I know. So the system itself hasn't changed. If there are new great people in there, that might be a thing, but so far I haven't seen it. I have watched a couple of Let's Plays already, and I didn't see any big changes of names that I was like, I haven't heard that one before, or I didn't see this ability before. I do have to say that the Let's Plays only are allowed at the moment to go to 150 turns, so I couldn't get a full game worth of it.
Sure.
But I'm pretty sure that the great person is still exactly the same system, which is fine by me, because I really don't mind the system the way it is.
No, I think it worked very well. It was one of my favorite things to do in Civ 6 was just competing to get all of the great merchants and such. So that was fun. cornering the market on people. So I like this. This seems like an addition to, but a different system. It's got its own unique flavor to it. So I like it a lot. I was going to ask you something else that sprung off of it, but I kind of can't remember right now. Is there something else you maybe want to add? Just things that have stood out to you, like that might be tied into governors and loyalty that you're really excited about in particular? Is anything off the top of your head?
Nothing specifically to governor and loyalty, but another thing that is not necessarily like a big expansion thing, but it's going to be like just like a normal patch thing, which is really, really important in the game. It's going to change like pretty much the whole game specifically by that point alone already.
Wow.
And that is the fact, like, we love trade routes. You know, yes. We love trade routes to death, and trade routes are the best. And how do you get trade routes? By building a harbor or building commercial op. Except you don't anymore now.
Oh.
You get them by building the lighthouse or the market building in that district.
Oh, okay.
So you have to invest a lot more resources into the district before you get the trade route benefit. And that's going to be a huge change.
That is. So will that drastically change things for England, for example, who really benefits from building a Royal Navy dockyard? I'm not sure if they've addressed that yet. They might just simply say, yep, the lighthouse gives you two things instead of one, or...
I think England still has the same like ability like she had in the base game. So currently it's like the market and the lighthouse are mutually exclusive for getting the building. But England probably will have like, well, you're England, so you can get still both of them. Otherwise, it's going to be a humongous nerve again for England. Well, it used to be like a huge boost. But I'm pretty sure that they will keep that in for England. I mean,
that makes sense.
I don't know why they wouldn't, because it fits.
We have just a little bit of time, I think, to open a slightly new can of worms here just for a second. And that is to ask, so we're getting new leaders for every civilization, right? Like an additional leader. Is that correct? I saw that floating around. Am I thinking of this wrong?
No. So far what I've heard is they're going to be 10 new civilizations and 11 new leaders.
So not everyone gets an alternate leader.
No, India has an alternate leader. And as far as I know, that's the only alternate leader that will be in the expansion.
Okay. Because I saw something floating around about that before, and it was on Twitter, actually. Someone replied to something that I said, and they're like, no, there's already a new second leader announced for the civilization. I was like, I don't know anything. But, okay, so that's interesting.
For India, you have Chandragupta, which is a more aggressive leader. But beyond that, there are all new civilizations, including the Dutch.
Yes! How excited are you to be back in the game?
Oh, I'm so excited. Queen Wilhelmina was a great choice for leader as well, and I can't wait to polder the whole world up.
Polders look great. They look fantastic. They're going to be so much fun.
And I'm so happy because they confirmed in one of the live streams that the polder building, the improvement is going to be a little bit special, which I love, of course, because it's a polder building. Uh-huh. But it's going to change the look of it. It's going to change as further you get along in technology.
Oh, great. I love that. That's fantastic.
It's these kind of tiny details that make it so much extra great for me. And I really love that. And I can't wait to see how that plays.
Yes, indeed. Also, kind of a throwback for a second. I wanted to call this out earlier, but it didn't really fit until now. But VectorCat commented earlier and said how trade convoy units are going to be really interesting in domination plays. And I assume that kind of ties in to what you were saying about, maybe in a domination play, you're not so focused on building a lighthouse or a market in all of your areas. And now that's going to be a lot more of a splitting of your resources. Is that kind of what you think you might have meant?
Yeah, I think so. It's going to be really interesting to see how the game flow now will take you, because trade routes will be super important, but they require so much more effort all of a sudden. Mm. It's going to be interesting to see where the cutoff is, like which city can actually put in the effort for not only the district but also market building before it actually gets like useful and stuff like that. And that also comes back with the governor that can actually buy a district. Like, would you be hopping her around and buying commercial hubs for the trade route and spiking your income so you can do more of that and stuff like that? It's going to be a really interesting dynamic to see what the optimal amount of effort would be for getting that trade route. Or maybe trade routes become a little bit less important now.
That could be that could be very true. So Valter, for next week, what do you want to talk about? We kind of talked about loyalty. I want to give people a chance this time around that we maybe can call out, especially now at the beginning when we have this time to do so, and these are such big bold headed topics. We give people chances on Reddit to kind of give their thoughts on a specific thing before we go into an episode. So this week we kind of covered mainly loyalty. I don't know if you have anything else you want to tack on towards the end, but loyalty, and we talked governor's role.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that fits really well together. And mm-hmm. I think that next week, what would be really interesting to talk about would be alliances and yes. emergency situations.
Good. I was so, you thought the exact same thing I did. Excellent. I'm so excited to talk about both of those. Those seem to fit very well together, too. So, oh, gosh.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that would be really great, a great way to roll into that. And a week after that, the game is out, and then I will have so many things to tell you because I'm pretty sure nobody will see me because I will be playing that game until we play start a podcast.
Great. So, yeah, we do only have, you're right, we've only got the 1 weekend left, huh, before it comes out. So we maybe...
Yeah, so fast.
Well, then, you know what? Next week, we're going to tackle enhancing your alliance's emergency situations, and then just if we have a spare second here, there, we can... What, retelling your history is kind of the big one, talking about the timeline system. That's not super major.
It's not super important.
Right.
It fits a little bit with the Golden Ages, and maybe if we have some time, we can address that shortly.
Yeah.
Because it's a little bit of a lesser topic, I think.
I think so.
Especially retelling your history. The Golden Ages and the Ages system, that is interesting, but... I really would like to talk about the alliances in emergency situations because I think that is way more important in the game.
I totally agree with you. So, okay, everyone, on the Reddit post that we'll put up for this episode, give us all your thoughts on the alliances and emergency situations in advance of next week. If you have something that really stands out to you, something you really like about it, we want to hear so we can maybe talk about some of that on the show. Valter, did you have anything else you wanted to add for loyalty or governors before we go into kind of housekeeping mode here?
No, I think we said most of the things. Didn't have a preview copy, so I couldn't get into the game, and yeah, I'm sad about it.
You hear that, Firaxis? If you are listening and your track record kind of shows it, Valter and Kyle need your help. Just your free press copies. That's all. We're very good at embargoes. We listen.
That is actually true.
Yes.
But I think I've said all that I can for now, and I'm sure we will delve deeper into this and find optimal ways how to play with both systems and my preferred way. I'm sure that will come up in later shows.
Exactly. So until then, we will just move on here and touch on a couple things. Okay, so people that have been super active in the CivCast Challenge, huge, huge, huge thank you to VectorCat,
yeah,
who
amazing.
On his own volition picked up the torch and ran with the community thing, which is actually not only kind of him in the past tense, but that is one of those things that when Dan had to step away, it was just an extra thing that kind of fell to us. And it was, you know, it was hard already putting in the time and energy for things we were doing, but, you know, absorbing that in is just, you know, that extra step. So and it belongs more where VectorCat has it anyway. It's more of a community thing than a top-down sort of like, well, here's what you're going to do. I like everything about VectorCat running this more so. He's part of the community, so he's involved more with what you guys are talking about and doing and playing. So I love it. That being said, we're extending an invitation to VectorCat. We're going to have him on today's, but bringing the show back. There was already technical issues like there always are. So it was just a good idea. I told him, I said, VectorCat, come back next weekend. So he's going to recap January's challenge, and that's going to be next Saturday he will be on. So that's the 3rd of February. VectorCat will pop into chat here with us, and he's going to tell us the thing. In the future, we'll see, you know, there might be little tweaks to it. There's probably going to be tweaks to things all around as we're launching a new season and just reformatting kind of everything to make it more streamlined and more focused on content. You notice we're putting the house cleaning stuff towards the end. You guys requested that we get into the more of the big topics earlier on. So it might actually be that we do CivCast challenge wrap-ups towards the end as well, just to keep things a little bit more succinct and you can navigate the episode easier. I think that's going to be kind of it for CivCast challenge. Let me think, do I have anything else? Go check it out. I don't know. I think you can play... I think you can play maybe until next Saturday. I don't want to even comment on that. But you'll have some time to get in. If you want to complete your challenge there, go ahead and do that. We're going to go talk about Patreon for a second and what Valter's going to do here with stuff. But to give you guys an overview, Patreon, we're kind of cleaning things up. Thank you to everyone that stayed loyal over the break there. Said it was on hiatus. A lot of people stayed subbed on Patreon. So thank you very much. Appreciate that. We're going to take out and rework the tier for the cold open, because the cold opens will be done here on Twitch, so you guys will really be able to hear that stuff live for the most part. It might be something we have to talk about off air, but that'll be boring stuff you don't want to hear anyway. All the other meaty stuff and jokey stuff that we always do before, that's always kept, we'll keep that on Twitch. Valter's strategy session. Valter, you want to talk a little bit about that? You're going to do that monthly, right?
Yes, I'm going to bring back the strategy sessions coming up from next month. February should be around halfway to February that the new strategy session will be up. By that time, I will have enough time in the new expansion that I can go and just go deep into what has changed and what kind of new strategies do pop up and what kind of ways old strategies were affected. And that's where I want to go take a deep dive in how the expansion just changes your strategy.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. And then starting whenever the actual new expansion comes out, do you want to start, you can start doing your strategy tips embedded in the show. Is that right, Valter? Or it's up to you, really?
Yeah.
It's totally
Definitely. I always have enough tips, even for now, but definitely from the next, when the expansion comes out, I will have more than enough tips to go around for everybody.
Fantastic. And so that kind of wraps that up. The last thing I want to comment with Patreon related to that is that with Dan's kind of prolonged hiatus, we took off the Dan's historical extra since... You know, that's just another thing. So if you want, patreon.com/Civcast, that's where you got all the other tiers. It's a lot more focused on just if you want to give this time around. We're just, you know, trying to take a whole new, after one full year's worth of Civ and coming back with season two, we're just trying to refocus on everything and just make it a lot more community driven. So that's going to be the focus with all of it. That being said, so we checked off Patreon, we checked off the Civcast. Oh, one last thing, Civcast Challenge, VectorCat confirms the current challenge is open until next weekend, so I believe that means your deadline is Saturday the 3rd before he gets in here and talks about it. So go compete in that one. You'll find all the information you need on our subreddit, which is civcast.reddit.com, so you can find that. Follow us over there. The website is kyledempsterstudios.com or civcastpodcast.com. Either one gets you to the same place. I think that kind of wraps it up for me. Let's see. I think that wraps up all the housekeeping. Valter, do you have any housekeeping sort of things you wanted to address?
Anything? No, I think we're good.
Excellent. Oh, timing. So this is kind of the important one, but it's a good one to leave people with. Timing. Yeah. We're live on Twitch. It is 2:30 p.m. Eastern time on Saturdays, so that moved a day earlier and an hour later, I think, something like that. And so day earlier, an hour later. So that's 2:30 p.m. Eastern time. That's 12:30 p.m. for me in Mountain Time here. Pacific, you're just an hour behind that. So watch us live on Twitch. We do a little bit of the back-endy sort of stuff, like we were saying, kind of the cold open thing. And then I will still be exporting these to YouTube, but I really encourage the Twitchy sort of thing. The YouTube export and the podcast episode being posted would probably happen between Sunday evening and Monday. I would say actually expect them more on Monday to be in your feed. So I think that actually wraps it up for us this week, Valter. Thank you so much for all of your time and your great educational attitude, being able to teach me all the things that I have been too burnt out to learn. I love it and very much value that knowledge.
I'm really glad to be here with you, Cal. Thanks for your time as well.
Well, then we will depart and leave you all to the rest of your weekend. Thank you again, everyone that tuned in. CivcastPodcast.com, CivcastReddit.com. We will see you in those places. There's a Discord. Join up. That's where I am. And until next week, just one more turn. You're listening to Civcast on the Kyle Dempster Studios Network. For more shows like this, visit kyledempsterstudios.com.